The story that we read in Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 6, is a wonderful illustration of what the Bible says in that same chapter in verse 10, where the Bible says, "For the Son of Man," talking about Jesus, "for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." And the story of Zacchaeus is a perfect example of what Jesus came for. And I'm glad that the truth is that we didn't go looking for God. God came looking for us. And He came looking for us for one purpose: to save us. To save us from Satan, to save us from our sinful selves, to save us from the judgment of God, to save us from eternity apart from God, to save us from hell. And I'm glad that we have a Savior, and it gets me excited when I think about it, that He came looking for me to save me. And I think each one of us needs to individualize that verse, if there's such a word as that, and say, "Hallelujah, I'm glad that we have a Savior that came looking for me to save me." Zacchaeus was lost. He was a sinner. We read in verse 2, and there, behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans. And he was rich. And then we didn't read verse 9, but down in verse 9, Jesus talking about Zacchaeus, He said, "This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham." Zacchaeus was a Jew, but he was also a tax collector. He collected taxes for Rome. Now, back in that day, if you were a tax collector and you collected taxes for Rome, to the Jews, you were considered a traitor. To the Jews, you were considered a Judas. Now, that word hadn't gained its full significance yet because Judas hadn't done what he was about to do. But in today's terms, we would say that Zacchaeus was a traitor. He was a Benedict Arnold. He was a Judas. In collecting taxes for the Roman Empire, he had lost all patriotic feeling. He had lost all love for his nationality and his country. He had lost all love for his religion. I mean, when the Jews looked at him, they saw somebody that sunk so low as a despicable person to collect taxes for the hated Romans. The fact that he was rich implies that he was also a thief and cheat. Because if you were a tax collector, you could charge anything you wanted. Most of them, and I think it was true of Zacchaeus, and you can sort of see that when he came to Christ, he said, "If I've taken anything wrong from anybody, I'll restore to them four times." But if you were a tax collector back in that day, you could charge anything you wanted. You had to pay the Romans a certain amount, and if you charged more than that, you could keep it, and it could go into your pocket, making yourself rich. And that's what I think Zacchaeus did. He made himself rich, robbing his own countrymen, robbing his own people. And so if you look at Zacchaeus the way the Jews looked at him, you would see one despicable, wretched man. One despicable, wretched human being. And I would point out to you that every single person here this morning can identify with Zacchaeus. Because if we were to honestly lay open our hearts, and we were to honestly lay open our minds, and we were to look at ourselves as God looks at us, and we were to examine ourselves compared to our standard, the glory of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, if we would compare ourselves to Him, we would say the same thing about ourselves that the people said about Zacchaeus. What a despicable, wretched person I am. All my righteousnesses, as in God's sight, are as filthy rags. As the Bible says, I am undone, unclean. And every person needs to look at themselves in God's mirror. They need to look at themselves the way God looks at them. And what do we see when we do that? We see a sinner who deserves not reward, but judgment. What do we see when we do that? We see a sinner who does not deserve heaven, but deserves hell. What do we see when we do that? We see a sinner who deserves not commendation, but God's condemnation. What do we see when we do that? We see a sinner who deserves not the love, grace, and mercy of God, but the punishment of God. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. And if each one of us got what we deserved, we would be separated from God forever and ever. So we're like Zacchaeus. We're the lost who Jesus came to seek and to save. Zacchaeus hears about Jesus. That's the way it always starts. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing. So he heard about Jesus. He heard that he was coming to town. Zacchaeus says, I want to see him. You might ask the question, why would a wicked tax collector, why would a despicable, wicked, wretched person like this want to see Jesus? I don't know. Maybe it was just curiosity. Boy, I've heard about this man called Jesus. I'd like to see what he looks like. Maybe he just wanted to fit in with the crowd because everybody at that particular time was talking about Jesus, talking about what he taught, talking about the things that he did. Maybe Zacchaeus just wanted to fit in and say, hey, when my friends start talking about this man called Jesus, I want to be able to say, yeah, I saw him the other day. I went to town and I stood in the crowd and I heard him preach and heard him teach. Maybe he just wanted to see the miracles. The deaf made to hear, the blind made to see. Maybe he just wanted to see all that. Whatever the motive, this man called Zacchaeus had a desire to see Jesus. I would ask you, what brought you here this morning? Why did you come? Some came because of curiosity. They wonder what's going to happen today. Wonder what the preacher is going to preach about today. So you came just because you were curious. Some came because you were bored. Didn't have anything else to do, might as well go to church. Some came because of duty. Well, it's Sunday. Supposed to go to church? I'm going to go to church. That's where you're supposed to be, Sunday morning, Sunday night. Some came probably because you were forced to. Mom and Dad were coming, so they said, if you want to eat breakfast this morning or have lunch this morning, you're going to go to church. When I was a kid, a lot of times, that's why I went to church. You might think, oh no, Brother Darrell, you've been spiritual all your life. No, I was just I was a wicked kid. I wanted to stay home and play baseball. I mean, I didn't want to go to church, but when Dad said, if you want to eat lunch today, you're going to go to church, I was motivated. I went to church. But I want to, regardless of why you came this morning, all of us have a desire to see Jesus. I mean, God gives that desire to every single person. We have a desire to see Him. We have a desire to want to see God. The Bible says, as we read here, that Zacchaeus couldn't see Jesus because he was little of stature. He was a little short guy. Wherever Jesus went, he always drew a crowd. That's the press that it's talking about there in verse 3. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, for the crowd. There was always a crowd around Jesus. An old short person like Zacchaeus wouldn't get to see him unless he was in the very front. And just think about it. Who would give a man like Zacchaeus a front row seat? I mean, they would say, hey, you're the tax collector. You're the one that cheats and robs us. You're the one working for Rome. What do you have? Why do you care about Jesus? You know, get to the back. You don't deserve to be up front here. Get to the back. And that's exactly what happened to Zacchaeus. And so he says, well, I know what I'm going to do. I can see the direction Jesus is going. I'm going to run before him, and I'm going to find me a tree, and I'm going to climb up in a tree, and when he passes by, I'm going to be able to see him. So the Bible says he runs before Jesus. He finds a sycamore tree, and he says, he climbed up to that tree thinking that he could see the Son of God from that perch. You know, people haven't changed too much. We do the same thing today. We climb up things thinking that we can get a better glimpse of God. We climb up things thinking that we can see Jesus and have a relationship with Him. So we climb up the tree of good works, or we climb up the tree of church membership, or we climb up the tree of baptism, or we climb up the tree of our tithes and our offerings, or we climb up the tree of morality, decency, and kindness, or we climb up the tree of our heritage and say, my mom and dad were a Christian, or my grandparents were a Christian. And we build, like they did in the Old Testament, a Tower of Babel that says, hey, I can get close to God on my own. I don't need to come God's way. I can figure out how to get there myself. I can rise to the heights. I can see God. I can have a relationship with God by climbing up something that I do myself. That's where Zacchaeus was. I can see God. I can climb this tree. I can get high and I can see God. He was up this tree and Jesus comes by. He not only came to Zacchaeus' town, he came to Zacchaeus' street. Not only did he come to Zacchaeus' street, he came to Zacchaeus' tree. What a shock. Can you imagine you're this little short tax collector up in this tree? Now, I don't know how old Zacchaeus was. I think he was up in years. I don't think he climbed trees every day. I don't think it was his habit. I think if he was up in this tree, he would be like Bill and I would be. We don't like heights very much. And so he probably had his arms wrapped around that tree, wanting to see Jesus, but sort of just shaking in his boots, if he had boots on, because he was afraid. What a shock. Say, oh boy, here he comes. I see him. I can see him. Boy, nobody's in the way. I can see him. And there he comes. And he watches as he comes right to the base of the tree. Jesus looks up. Zacchaeus! What an amazing thing. Can you imagine what must have went through the mind of Zacchaeus? How does he know me? How did he know I was up this tree? How does he know my name? Well, I got some news, good news for you this morning, folks. Jesus knows every single one of us. He knows every single one of our names. He knows exactly where we are. And he'll do the same thing that he did he'll do the same thing to us that he did to Zacchaeus. He'll come exactly to where we are, whatever we've climbed up on to get to God, and whatever act, deed, or thing that we're depending on to make us right with God. He'll come to the very base of that, look up, call us by name, and say the same thing to us that he said to Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must abide at thy house. Again, what a shock. Here's a tax collector who had no idea that he would even get to see Jesus. He devised this plan and said, hey, if I climb up this tree, the crowd won't press me out. I'll be able to see him just for a glimpse of him. If I could just see him. And then to his surprise, to his amazement, the very person who he sought to see stood at the bottom of that tree, called him by name, and said, come on down, bud. I'm going home with you today. I'm going to go to your house and abide. Again, that's exactly what Jesus does for each one of us. And I praise God that we have a Savior who knows us, who knows where we are, who knows our name, who knows what we're hanging on to, trying to get right with God, and who comes. It reminded me of the story in John chapter 11. Of Mary and Martha when Lazarus, their brother, died and Jesus came to town. He talked to Martha and Martha went running to Mary and said, Mary, the Master's come and calleth for thee. I got that same news for every single person this morning that's here. The Master has come. He calleth for thee. He knows your name. He knows where you are. He stands at the base of your sycamore tree and says, hey, come on down. Come on down. Like he said in the book of Revelation. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and will open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. You see, the desire in Jesus' heart, the reason that made him leave heaven, the reason that made him come to earth, the reason that he went to the cross, the reason that he died and he shed his blood is so that he could knock on the door and give us the opportunity to open that door so that he could come in and sup with us and abide with us. That's what Jesus wants for every single person. That's why he came looking for you and why he came looking for me. He wants to abide with us. He wants us to abide with him. Now, that's my introduction this morning. My message is verse 6. Verse 6. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. You see, when Jesus stood at the base of that sycamore tree, looked up and said, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down. I'm going to your house today. Zacchaeus did three things that every single person here this morning ought to make sure that you've done in your life at one point or another. Notice what those three things are. Number one, he made haste. Zacchaeus didn't wait. He didn't waste any time. He didn't put it off a month. He didn't put it off a week. He didn't put it off a day. He didn't put it off an hour. I don't know how fast this man climbed up the tree, but I know how fast he came down. He came down in a hurry. He came down with haste. When Jesus calls, we need to respond in exactly the same way. We ought not to say, hey, I'll do it next month. We ought not to say that. We ought not to say, I'll do it next week. Ought not to say that. Ought not to say, I'll do it tomorrow. Or I'll do it a few hours from now. I'll come back and do it in the evening service tonight. No, no, no. That's not the way to answer. That's not the proper response. When Jesus calls, we need to come, not in June, not next week, not tomorrow, not tonight, now. Now. We need to make haste and come down from whatever we're depending on to make us right with God. We need to come down and make it with haste and see Jesus face to face. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, now is the accepted time. Today, behold, now is the day of salvation. The best time and the only sure time that you have to answer the call of Christ in your life is right now. Right now. Not next month, even though next month's only a few days away. Not next week, not tomorrow, not tonight. The only sure chance you have to respond to the call of Christ in your life, whether you're a sinner or a Christian, the only sure time that you have to respond to the call of Jesus is now. Is now. Later may never come. You see, Satan is the great putter-offer. Satan is the one that says, you don't need to rush into this. You don't need to make such a fast decision. You have plenty of time. Why don't you just wait? Why don't you think about it? Why don't you do it later? You always have another chance. He's a liar. You may not always have another chance. The chance you have this morning may be your last chance. Jesus stands at the base of whatever you climbed up on, and he says, you come down. You need to do it with haste. With haste. Number one, he made haste. Number two, he came down. He had to get out of the sycamore tree. I mean, if he wanted to see Jesus the way that Jesus wanted to see him, he had to climb down from that tree. Same thing that we have to do. We have to climb down from whatever we're depending on to see God. We have to climb down from our good works. We have to climb down from our church membership. We have to climb down from baptism, from our tithes and our offerings. We have to climb down from our morality and decency and kindness. We have to climb down from our heritage if that's the things that we're depending on to make us right with God. Jesus said in John chapter 14, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. You don't have a relationship with God because you've joined the church. And by the way, I think joining the church is good. I think if God leads you to join the church, you ought to join. But don't join the church thinking that the church is going to get you to heaven because it won't do it. Don't get baptized because you think the baptistry is going to get you to heaven. It won't work. I mean, I think you ought to get baptized. I think you ought to lead a moral, clean, decent life. Praise God if you had parents and grandparents that were Christians. And as we talked about this morning, took you to Sunday school and took you to church. But those things won't get you into heaven. Those things won't make you right with God. The only way to get right with God is come down from that sycamore tree. Come down from whatever else you're depending on and come and accept the one, receive the one who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And then number three, that's what he did. He made haste, he came down, and he received him. When Jesus said, Zacchaeus, come on down. I want to go home and abide with you today. Zacchaeus said, yes, Lord, I will come down. Yes, Lord, I'll quit depending on this sycamore tree. We need to say the same thing. Yes, Lord, I will come down. Yes, Lord, I'll quit depending on my works, my deeds, or my acts. Yes, Lord, I'll depend on Jesus and nothing else. Yes, I'll receive him. In John 1:12, verse that I quote often, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. You're a sinner. If we look at ourselves, and I'm a sinner. If we look at ourselves the way that God looks at us, we will see a despicable, wretched, lost sinner. Something brought you here today. I don't know what that was, but you're here. You want to see Jesus. Every single person does. They want to see Christ. You climbed up on something this morning. You're just like Zacchaeus. You're hanging on to it and say, this is going to make me right with God. The good news of the gospel. Jesus knows exactly where you are. He knows what you climbed up on. He knows your name. And he's coming and he's standing at the base of whatever it is you climbed up on. And he says, hey, hey, make haste. Come down. I want to have a relationship with you. I want to abide with you. We can't do it as long as you're up that sycamore tree. You've got to come down and receive me. What's going to be your response this morning? You that are here that don't know Christ as your Savior, Jesus is calling your name. You have a choice to make. You can wait. You can delay. You can put it off, like I'm sure Satan is telling you to do right now. Now, you can have plenty of time. You don't have to do it today. Don't rush into this decision. You can make that choice. You can stay up in the tree. I'll hang on to what I've got for right now. And in so doing, you'll reject Jesus Christ. Or you can do the same things that Zacchaeus did. You can make haste. You can come down. You can receive Christ. This morning, I urge you to do the same things that Zacchaeus did. Come down. Receive the only one that can make you right with God. Receive Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, thank you. Wonderful story. So many of them in the Bible about where you went, not after the crowd, but after the individual. I think of that man called Nicodemus that you saw in the middle of the night. I think of that woman at the well in Samaria. I think of Zacchaeus. All people just like us that need a Savior. And Jesus went after them one-on-one. And I pray, Father, that we could see the truth of the Bible, that He comes after us one-on-one. The person that's here this morning that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior, Jesus came seeking to save them. And I pray this morning that one person that's here that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, that this morning they'd see themselves as a sinner. They'd see the price that Jesus paid on Calvary for their sin, and this morning they would make that decision to come down and receive Him. I pray for Christians this morning, Father. We've heard the gospel one more time. We've heard the old, old story. I pray we'd be faithful and bold to go out this afternoon and tomorrow to tell it to others. Thank you for being such a good God. Thank you for loving us so much that you sent your Son to seek us, to save us. And again, I pray every single one that's here that doesn't know Him as their Savior, they would come. And they would, this morning, make that decision that they'll never regret to receive Christ as their Savior. Make it so, dear Jesus. For it's in your name we pray. Amen.